It's time for the Ian Furness Show.
You want me to turn it up?
Send your text to 49451 on Seattle Sports Radio 950 KJR.
All right, here we go. Tuesday edition of the program. Hello, how are you? Kevin Shockey, how are you?
I'm good. What's going on?
I always want to say what the studio is named, but you know, the studio is named by the show before us for a great cause from Ronald McDonald House.
Yeah.
But we still have an unnamed studio, which is unheard of in sports radio.
I'm not even sure if you're in a studio.
Well, I'm not
actually floating around in the ether.
I like this studio, though. I'm going to miss it when they kick me out. Like my own little office. It's just got a bunch of trash in it from the old days of NBC's Comcast.
Which was like how many years ago?
I don't know, man. Cables everywhere, none of which work. I mean, anyway, we're here today. I'm not in the main studio. I'm in the auxiliary studio, but that's good. It's an unnamed studio, but I'm here. You're in a producer's booth that is named.
It's true. I am in the Redbox producer's booth, and Redbox has the newest movies. They are fresh from the theater, and they are under $2 a night. So head to the box or stream on demand.
Headlines.
Now, from the Star Reynolds Sports Desk, your 950 KJR Sports Headlines.
Reports are Jared Kelnick is coming up to the Mariners on Thursday. More on that in a moment. The big club is playing tonight. They're in Los Angeles. Take on the Dodgers. Two teams that are one game above 500. Surprising for one and surprising for the other for two very different reasons. That they're both one game over 500 right now. That's a 7 o'clock first pitch tonight in Southern California. Major League Baseball is mad at the Oakland A's. They are looking at...
they're mad at Oakland.
Yeah, mad at Oakland. But that's just... you know what's weird? Am I losing my mind here? Ain't no way we're going to build you a publicly financed building.
But it's not. This is the...
Let's get to
we're going to have to get into it at some point because it's really weird.
Everything's weird, man. Because people here are mad about the fact it's a billion-dollar climate pledge arena. Ain't your money. Puck and I were just talking about this a second ago. Why would anybody care? Like, why do you care?
Because...
Like, why would you care?
Unless your name is spent on the team?
Unless your name is Lywicki or Oakview, it doesn't matter. It's privately financed anyway. Now, if you want to be mad about the roof being saved, I'm all in on that. Because that was just stupid. But it's a whole different topic. Let's see what else we got going on. Apparently, Medina Spirit's going to actually run the Preakness. At least that's what they say right now. And it's a hand cream, not a tainted... Urine that's saying that on
and
hay.
Hey,
this is just dumb. Everything about it's dumb. It's a dumb day. Life's dumb. Sad news. Colt Brennan, record-setting quarterback at the University of Hawaii, dead at the age of 37. That's a name that many college football fans would still remember. Sad story there. Okay. And the Sounders, by the way, play San Jose tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
That game is on Joe TV and right here on 950 KJR. Means tonight would be a Sounders Weekly with Jackson Feltz.
Indeed. I have heard...
You know why I know that?
A tease.
You know why I know it? You know why I know that? Because every Tuesday when I walk into the radio station, I see a frantic Jackson Feltz sprinting between his desk and the production booth as he does an interview with Peter Fewing or somebody, you know?
Well, no, I actually...
Or whoever he's talking. Is he talking to Pele today?
No, but he's talking to Freddie Montero tonight.
That's cool.
And... From what I understand, I don't want to ruin the tease.
Okay. It's not a tease.
I'm told Freddie Montero is going to do something pretty fun.
Good. All right.
I'll just say that. Jackson,
please tell me he's going to make fun of Portland.
I'm not going to...
Since the days of Roger Levesque have we had someone mock Portland. Like, I mean, that needs to happen. That needs to happen.
I don't know exactly. Because I haven't been given permission, I'm not going to tease too much. But my understanding is he's going to do something very fun tonight.
I didn't even think about that the other day. They should have done, after one of the two goals, they should have done the Roger Levesque timber thing. Yeah, that would have been awesome. Or the scuba dive.
The scuba dive is the one that I loved.
Yeah. Didn't they do the one where they like chopped him down once or something like that?
They had a lot of fun with that.
Oh, so good stuff. All right. Well, hell, we might have some fun. Can we have baseball going to Portland someday? I mean, here's the statement from the Oakland A's. I'll read that because we're going to get to Kelnick in a second. Plenty of Kelnick, trust me.
Yeah.
Lots of Kelnick.
And remember, it's not actually from the A's.
No.
The statement's from Major League Baseball.
MLB is concerned with the rate of progress on the A's new ballpark effort with local officials and other stakeholders in Oakland. The A's have worked very hard to advance the new ballpark in downtown Oakland for the last 4 years, investing significant resources while facing multiple roadblocks. We know that they remain deeply committed to succeeding in Oakland, and with two other sports franchises recently leaving the community, their commitment to Oakland is now more important than ever. The Oakland Coliseum site is not a viable option for the future vision of baseball. We have instructed the Athletics to begin to explore other markets while they continue to pursue a waterfront ballpark in Oakland. The Athletics need a new ballpark to remain competitive, so it's now in our best interest to also consider other markets. First of all, that last line is a complete line of BS. The Athletics need a new ballpark to remain competitive. They are competitive every year. They are the gold standard of competitive. They don't need a new ballpark to be competitive. Now, financially viable, yes. Competitive, no. They do more with less than anybody in sports. God bless them. They're good every year. Nobody. They have no money. They have no finances. Their media rights deals are awful. Everything about them financially is just brutal, and yet they're competitive every year. You don't need that to be competitive. But you do need it to be financially viable for them in the future. So it's interesting that that was from Major League Baseball, but it was actually tweeted out by the A's.
Yeah.
So it's in conjunction with each other. The roadblocks and the pushback you're getting from local politicians. Now, listen, we saw some of that here initially when they're going to renovate Key Arena into Climate Pledge Arena, what we now know as Climate Pledge, except for council members that saw it as a viable thing in their district. Or same thing with Northgate with the practice rink, viable for their district. Mm-hmm. How did it work? All privately financed, remember. I don't understand any pushback ever from politicians. I have a hard time understanding any politician pushing back when a privately financed enterprise would benefit a community and you're not spending tax dollars for it, you know, to the contrary. There's the optics that people have that is like the most elementary and really kind of stupid thought process that, oh, wow, that's going to take away from fill in the blank of the social service, whether it's social services, schooling, I would say police and fire, but nobody wants that to be money spent on that anymore. So let's just say it's social services and or schools. Well, if you, Puck and I were just talking about Portland, for example, and the parcels of land that they would look to, the Portland baseball people would look if they get Oakland.
The train yard, right? Or something like that. Is that them?
There's like four, a couple of them are on the waterfront. They're all just derelict right now in how they look. And, you know, I would challenge people to look up at Seattle at the top of the hill here with Climate Pledge Arena. You know, I think you and I talked about this, I think off the air, not as much on the air a couple weeks ago. And we're going to do more on the air with it. But I drove by the arena just because I hadn't done it in a while. And it's only three blocks from where we're actually, no, it's long.
Don't go there.
But it's a short distance from us. I drove by there up First Avenue North and just to kind of take a peek at it. Now, Lower Queen Anne or whatever we want to call it these days, to me it's always going to be Lower Queen Anne. It's not a pretty place right now. But it has the potential to be through a privately financed building, which if the city will, my understanding is our city is really hard to do small business with, and that was from a couple restaurant people that I've talked to, because I'm asking the question, why don't we see stuff already building up there, you know, 6 months away from having that building open, and it's very difficult in our city, the city of Seattle, to do business and small business. I don't know what that means. I'm assuming it's taxes and business licenses and et cetera, et cetera. I think it's probably also lack of protection, wondering is your business going to get its windows smashed in all the time, what have you. But that area at some point in the next 6, 12, 24 months will be revitalized. And it'll be revitalized through a privately financed project, which is awesome. I don't understand why a city and city leadership would ever push back on that because, my God, I mean, without Climate Pledge Arena, that area of our city would continue to rot to the core. The Opera and the Playhouse down there is just not going to carry the weight. And the Space Needle is a tourist attraction, and that's it. And even that isn't what it used to be, especially in the pandemic. So we're going to see a revitalization up there at some point, I would assume. With Oakland, that's an interesting point about how they've lost two teams already. It's crazy. I kind of tend to forget that because the Warriors are now in San Francisco, and obviously the Raiders are in Las Vegas, but Portland could get baseball, man. I'm with Puck. I hope it's expansion and not moving the A's. I grew up as an A's fan. That was my first team before the Mariners were there. The A's teams that won the World Series in the mid-70s, Catfish Hunter, Ray Fosse, Gene Tennis, Washington, Campanaris, Bando, those guys. I mean, I still remember their lineup 50 years later, 40 years later. I remember their lineup. Couldn't tell you the lineup today. I could tell you that lineup, though. I mean, honestly, because they were a great team there. There's a tradition there, so I hope they do stay there. At the same time, I hope that Portland gets a team. We have a team. Big news yesterday. Jared Kelnick, who was the first to report it, so we attribute correctly?
Jeff Passan was first.
Jeff Passan first, but it seems like it's a foregone conclusion that he's going to play tonight in Tacoma, his last game as a AAA player, and then will come up to Seattle and participate with the Mariners on Thursday when they come home and start a homestand, the PCL, whatever they call it now, AAA.
AAA West.
They are off tomorrow, but Kelnick is supposed to be here Thursday. We talked about it yesterday on our Molly Wop Monday with our guys Nathan and Chris. When we come back, former major leaguer who made his way up through the system every step of the way, Northwest League short season all the way through, a lot of stints in AAA baseball. Does Kelnick need that? Does he think he'll succeed? We'll get the inside info coming up next.
Now back to Ian Furness on Seattle Sports Radio 950, KJR.
All right, welcome back in. Sports Radio 950 KJR. Ian Furness with you. The big news, obviously, all the reports that Jared Kelnick is going to get called up. The phenom for Seattle. He's going to make his debut, we think, on Thursday with the Mariners. It's been a long time coming, but in baseball terms, it's anything but a long time. And I wanted to get some insight from this, because all of us that are fans and media, everyone's been throwing their 2 cents in and, you know, should he do this and when should he get called up? And I think it's not just Jared Kelnick, it's Julio Rodriguez, it's just baseball players as a whole. When are they ready? And I thought, like, they've got to find somebody that knows, you know, that knows the system, that's been up through it. And I found that person because through a mutual friend, actually a coworker as well. And although I should say, having talked baseball with her a few times in the Q13 newsroom, I maybe should have had her on as opposed to her husband. But Daniel Robertson is a former major leaguer, briefly played with the Mariners, but also with three other teams, Texas, Cleveland, Anaheim, I believe. Am I getting them all right? Is that right?
Yeah,
how are you?
You got it. I'm doing great. How are you doing? Thanks for having me in.
I appreciate you jumping on today. I mean, and I mentioned it. You did the minor league tour from the Northwest League short season all the way up to the big leagues for a few years, and as well. And I do mean that in honesty. Your wife probably knows more about baseball than most of us in the media having kind of conversations with her. So I hope she's doing well. Let's talk about, just in general terms, baseball's changed a little bit. And where are you at right now? And this is probably a good place to start, because baseball really has changed. It's undergone this massive change over the last 24 months, because I know you're down in Salem, but no longer do we have the Northwest short season ball, right?
Yeah. There were 48 teams left off there, and Salem Kaiser Volcanoes were one of them. And that new realignment, which, you know, I it's hard to think and fathom that we would have shrunk the minor leagues, because of all the people that have come through those cities that are now no longer going to have baseball. So that's a different question. We could get to that in a little bit, but yeah, so there's quite a few teams that got left off. Now there's only six teams in that high A division. So now there are four teams in one spot: the Portland Mavericks, the Salem Senators, the Campesino de Salem Kaiser, which is the team that I coach, and then the original Salem Kaiser Volcanoes. So it's an interesting setup now with all the teams that got left off. The majority of them have started independent leagues, so there's still baseball being played. I think something that's easily forgotten through all of this is we went through a pandemic, and unless you played baseball on an alternate site or you were in the big leagues, there's thousands of ball players that had jobs that haven't gotten to play in the last 2 years. So for me, no matter what independent league you're in, it's all about just getting to play, because some of these kids lost out on their senior years. Some of them weren't able to come back for whatever roster reasons they had. So we were able to give people a home. We were able to give people a place to play. And I think that's what's important being down here with the new realignment.
It's interesting. So, and you're coaching and managing down there in Salem right now and having an opportunity. Before I get to Kelnick, because he's the outlier, how many guys, as you just mentioned, in baseball got left out that potentially could be playing in the big leagues that may never get that chance now?
That's a great question. That's a great question, Ian. And I'm so excited you said that, because I saw a stat the other day that I believe it was Heyman that tweeted it. I could be wrong. He tweeted that there are 46 players right now on major league rosters that were drafted in the 20th round or later, 21st round or later. So in my mind, that's almost two full baseball teams that are filled. And so you take that away, and I'm not saying it can change dramatically, but what I will say is, from a guy that's been around baseball as long as I have, and you know, I came up playing against Mike Trout. I played with Beltre, Robinson Cano, Mike Trout, Pujols. I played with some David Freese, some players that have made their mark on this game. And what I will say is, it's not hard to find those guys. It's not. The hardest part to win baseball games is to find the guys that you build around them with. And I would love to see the deep, deep dive into the statistics in how many teams that have won World Series in the past 20, 30 years, where you have your Eric Hosmers drafted in the first round. But, you know, what about the Jerrod Dysons that filled out that Royals roster? What about the guys that filled out the middle and back end of the Royals roster that created that, you know, when they signed Salvador Perez? There's so many instances where guys, you find the pure baseball player that know how to play the games that help you win 30, 40, 50 games throughout the year that the All-Stars just can't do. You know, we're seeing it in today's game. The separation is too far. You're seeing the bona fide superstar, and you're seeing the young kid who's frankly just not ready. And it's not his fault. It's not anyone's fault. It's just the thirst for talent. I think we're all responsible for it. I think the thirst for talent and the thirst for wanting to see young action and see young guys play well. But, you know, the Mike Trouts and the distant Bryce Harpers, those guys that are so good at their age, they're just a dime a dozen. They're generational players. And I think sometimes organizations get caught in the limelight where they look across the board and they see Mike Trout and they think, oh my gosh, that's the guy that we need to get so we can change the landscape of our organization and we can put it on the map. So they start scouting, they start recruiting for the five tool, the explosive player, the guy that makes your eyes light up, whether you're a player or even just a fan or in a media member that's a fan of baseball. And that becomes the bar, and everyone chases the bar. And sometimes it's very easy to get lost in it. And I think you being a super sports fan, you can see it a little bit in football too, but it's not the same. You know, they get the guy that they know they need in the first or second round. And then what, you know, the third round is widely known as the guy that you actually find your superstar player. And it's known throughout the league. And so I think it's fun to understand that in the back of the draft is when you're going to find your players. But now you trim the draft by 20 rounds. And now where are you going to find the true baseball player? And you're going to have to find him in independent ball. But now with scouting department shrinking, how are you going to find those guys that can run the bases great, can that have good arms, that play good defense, that put the ball in play, you know, kind of the David Fletchers, you see him throughout the league where there's guys that just put the ball in play, the Nick Madrigals. I know he was a fourth rounder, but the guys that just put the ball in play, they put pressure on the defense. They know how to play the game of baseball. They're playing chess while some people are playing checkers or trying to figure out what game we're playing. There's a real dynamic change in the sport. And so it's actually been fun to watch, because I think when I was a player, it's frustrating, because at the end of my career, you know, I fell victim to being the older guy in the young room. And at 33, I couldn't find a job after having one of the best seasons of my career, hitting 340 with 30 extra base hits and stealing 25 bags in 70 games, thinking, oh, this is going to get me signed, and learning how to hit for power, because power comes with age. So I felt like I was just blossoming as the best version of myself, and mentally I was better than I'd ever been. And I still couldn't find a job because I was 30, you know, whether it was 33 or whatever the case may be.
That's crazy. David, Daniel Robinson Robertson joining us here as we're talking baseball. All right, that's a good transition into Jared Kelnick, a guy that we've been wondering when he's going to come up. It looks like it's coming. It's happening. You mentioned there are the Trouts and the Harpers, and there's the guys that are the, you know, a generational type talent. you know, there's a thought that he is that guy, you know, and the thought was, is that, you know, we heard Jerry DePoto say he needs all these at bats and he's never been into AAA, you know, and he's going from here to here so quick. And then all of a sudden, snap of the fingers, maybe when they all of a sudden have that extra year of him under club control, he's up. Let me ask you this, because I always kind of, and maybe I'm totally wrong in this, my thought and theory would be there are exceptions to every rule. You know, you and so many others started in short season A and made that progression step by step. This is a guy that seems like he could bypass it. Is he? I mean, it's a hard question to ask, but are there guys like that? Is it realistic to think that he can make the jump after just, you know, less than a week in AAA?
Well, I think in a way, on it, to answer your question, honestly, Ian, there's, if anyone on this earth had that answer, we would be sitting somewhere in the Caymans with a $25 million house and an airport landing strip, and everyone's landing in to try to get our opinion, right? So I think at the end of the day, I think sometimes we forget in this really fun machine that we have, this baseball machine that's been pumping phenomenal players out since the 70s and 80s, you know, I mean, all the way back to Ty Cobb. It's been pumping out players that we get to watch and enjoy the game that we love because it's America's favorite pastime for a reason. But we forget that nobody has the answer. So we're all just, even the people put in the most highest power, Jerry DePoto, for example, he's doing the best that he can with all the information that he can, trying to find the guys that are going to help the Mariners win, because that's ultimately the goal. You know, the Mariners haven't been to the playoffs, and I don't want to put a finger on it because, truth be told, Ian, growing up in Southern California, I was a diehard Mariner fan. So everyone thought that when I was with the Anaheim Angels, that was the elite moment in my life, and this was the amazing feeling. Well, it was actually not true. The greatest moment of my life was putting the number 99 on my back that had sentimental value and running out at Safeco Field, knowing all the Mariner history and being a part of the 95 playoff run and then crying when we lost to the Indians in the ALCS. So we forget that they're doing the best that they can. And, you know, DePoto found Trout. So I think it's a fun comparison, but I think everyone's different. Everyone is different in how they handle it. I think the one thing when you talk about Kelnick, looking just at some of his numbers and the way he plays, I think it's very easy to skip over the fact that 1 week in AAA is nice. But also they use big league balls in AAA. So when you're talking about AAA parks that play nothing like major league parks, they're using the same balls. So the ball's going to go way farther. You know, there's guys that are out of the game now that wish that we could have AAA, you know, big league balls in AAA again. I know I do. So I think to say that he needs to make a stop every step of the way, like some of us, is an understatement, and it could be an overstatement in the same breath, because guys like me who have to come all the way up, we don't have to come all the way up because we're not polished enough or we're not ready. You know, I was an MVP my first year and then went my second year and I was a fourth outfielder, because the running joke amongst the baseball players down there is the minor leagues is really just for the rounds 1 through 5. And then all of us are just there so they could keep getting better. But I think when you take a closer look at his numbers, you know, he hit 309 and then he hit 291. And then when he got to AA, he hit 250. And so I think the power numbers are there, but I think the game has changed so much and there's so much velocity, but there's also so much detail put into the art of hitting. There's too many specifics that we're trying to mold. You know, if fans like to see home runs, then let's mold our hitters into hitting home runs. If the fans don't seem to care about strikeouts, then why care about them? So it's a hard pill to swallow when we're trying to find prospects and move them through the system that we think our fans are ultimately going to like, because at the end of the day, that's really all it's about. It's about fan experience and bringing a team in that the fans can get behind, that the fans feel like the players take after the core of what the city believes in, right? And so I feel like that can get hard at times when you take a look across the water or you take a look across the AL West and you see teams built differently and some are winning and some are losing. And you feel like maybe there's a little, are we doing things the right way or the wrong way? And just like everything is confidence. So I feel like to be able to transition into what I feel like is the perfect road to get to the major leagues, it's really all about confidence. And I feel like maybe when I was coming up, the guys that made all-star teams, the guys that made postseason all-star teams in their minor leagues were the ones that moved up, and the guys that didn't really perform kind of stayed in the same level. But I think those days are kind of gone. And I think sometimes when those kids that just kind of rode their way to the show, not necessarily bang their way to the show, once they get there and they struggle, it's difficult for them because they don't know what real struggle is like because they've never experienced real success and real stardom. And I feel like the guys that you see, you know, the Howie Kendricks of the world, who had a career 370 batting average when they were in the minor leagues, when he got to the big leagues, he stayed, and he stayed for a long time. And so I think there's just a confidence piece that I think that is the most important when it comes to being developmental. It's not about the talent and the physical piece. It's about how are you going to handle the drunk guy out in, you know, right center field who's wearing you out, you know, the guy that Kyle Lewis has to listen to when, you know, maybe he has three punch outs in a game and he's got to listen to that entire beer garden wearing him out about what's going on. And there's certain guys that understand how to get through it and push through it. And then there's some guys that can't. And I think ultimately that's really where the growth comes from, is when you take the time to see how a guy handles failure. And I think if a guy's in the minor leagues too short, failure hasn't had time to catch him. And I think you need a preview of what that guy's going to be like as a teammate, as a leader, as a, maybe he's just a role player, but you need to see that, and you need to see that makeup before you bring him into a situation where it's eat or be eaten, because the baseball at the major league level is the best of the best. And so there's some guys that thrive and there's some guys that don't.
I'll wrap it up with this. Daniel Robertson joining us, a former big leaguer, now coaching down to independent ball in Salem. It sounds like you're skeptical of him coming up too soon.
Well, that's the thing is, I don't know, because I'm not as close to the situation as, you know, Ian, as some of you guys are. You guys have been diving into this religiously. And so I'm not going to, just because I had a chance to be on a baseball field at the major league level doesn't mean my opinion weighs more than anybody else's. I think the more you see, the more you learn, and the more you learn, the more you understand. And so I would just have to see more of him. And I think that's it. I think if, you know, if someone's job is to bring him up, I mean, ultimately there's a long working process that goes into bringing a GM in, and the detail that they take to get players. It's not just a good old boys club where you bring people in and they get the job because you're someone's friend. You know, they want to win and they have some pride in their own work and they don't want to be wrong and they don't want to have to the fan base suffer. So for me, I just want to see him play. I want to see him play. I want to see what he does with runners in scoring position. I want to see what he does when the Mariners start losing. I want to see how he acts when the Mariners start winning, because the season's an ebb and a flow, man. You've seen it, Ian. 162 games is a long time.
Yep.
You know, that 60-game season, I feel like it was beautiful for everyone to see, because anything can happen in 60 games. Literally anything, from MVPs to Cy Young winners to Rookie of the Years to World Series champs. I think we all knew the Dodgers were a really good team, but I don't think anyone expected the Rays to get there. But they got hot at the right time. But 162 games, man, it's not for the boys. It's a man's game, and you better be ready. And I think time will tell. You know, if he comes up and he does well, then good on him. Then he didn't need that road. He didn't need the long road that some people take. I mean, at the end of the day, we forget Trout was in the big leagues at 19. Beltre was in the big leagues at 19. Miguel Cabrera was hitting homers off Roger Clemens in a World Series at 20. There's so many players that have come in. Elvis Andrews at 19. There's so many players that have graced this game at such a young age and have been great, but they just need to be given that chance. And I feel like if they feel like he's ready, you know, who are we to think otherwise? But I hope the best for the kid, because I know we could say what we want, the back and forth with his agent and the things that the owner said, they're crazy and they're outlandish, but the big leagues is still the dream, and it's the goal, whether you're a first rounder or a 50th rounder. It's the most amazing feeling when you get the call, when someone tells you that dream you had as a little kid is coming true. So I hope he's ready. I'm not skeptical, because if he's ready, his play is going to show. Because I think sometimes, especially as media, I think we need to get back to letting the players play their proof and let them prove themselves, because the past you can't bring with you. I wish I could bring all the minor league success I could into the major leagues, but it just doesn't work that way. And that's what I would wish. I just wish people would give him a chance to prove that he's worth, as opposed to that 0-for-4 night that he's going to have, that night where he has 3 strikeouts. And then the night that he has 3 home runs, just the night that he hits multiple home runs in a game, don't make him out to be the savior of Seattle. And when he has that bad game, don't make it out to be this conquest that someone was right and someone was wrong, that he was too early.
I love it, man. Listen, great having your insight. I'd love to pick your brain again during the course of the summer. There's about 18 things you hit on there that I know my producer, Kevin, who's a big baseball guy, is going to want to hit on as well down the road. But hopefully we can have a conversation again, man. Thank you so much.
Hey, thank you for having me on, Ian. And I love talking baseball. It's what I love to do, man. So anytime you want me on, I'll make time available for you in this great show.
There you go. Daniel Robertson, great having you on today, man. Thank you so much. It was fun. I have a feeling we'll have Daniel on again. There's a lot of baseball knowledge, a lot of baseball opinions in that man's head, and we'll check in with him down the road as well as we continue to try to – we're tracking down some guys, some new voices in the world of baseball that you haven't maybe heard before, and I think Daniel's going to be one of those you'll enjoy hearing this summer. All right, well, kind of touching on what he said top of the hour. We come back, though. Of course, we got something good. Plus, Daily Power Play brought to you by your – Seattle Kraken. The playoffs, my friend, are set in the National Hockey League. Next.
In front, Kundra! Score!
Richard! Score! Connor McDavid!
This is the Daily Power Play.
It's Crosby atop the crease, and the Pens win!
Oh my, they left Ovechkin wide open!
Brought to you by the Seattle Kraken. Check out the Kraken team stores in Seattle at Chandler's Cove and at Bellevue Square. Safely shop exclusive Kraken merch you can't get anywhere else.
And now we're going to have a goalie fight. This is the battle of Alberta we've been waiting for.
Sports Radio 950, KJR.
A minute 14 to go. Aho comes in right wing side, poked away. Here's Rocco Grimaldi. Grimaldi steaming in down the left wing side. Grimaldi with a shot, and he scores on the back end. Rocco Grimaldi shorthanded. It's 1-0 Nashville. Shea drills the puck back into the Nashville zone. Puck across, trying to feed in front. Rene lost his stick, and then he still made the save. Boy, thought they had him right there.
Oh, 3-0.
They face off at center. Fabro takes it back inside. Skates behind Pekka-Rinne. And Pekka-Rinne has his 60th career NHL shutout here tonight.
Final score 5-0, Nashville over Carolina. That's a first-round playoff preview, by the way. It's our Daily Power Play. Our Daily Power Play brought to you by the Seattle Kraken, the Seattle Kraken Team Store. Check out the Kraken Team Stores in Seattle at Chandler's Cove and at Bellevue Square, second floor, next to Mac Cosmetics. All you have to do right now, by the way, is visit sportsradiokjr.com. Enter the Daily Power Play for your chance to win a $50 gift card for one of those 2 Seattle Kraken team stores. Safely shop exclusively Kraken merchandise you can't get anywhere else. The Seattle Kraken team store. Of course, you're listening to the official home of the Seattle Kraken, Sports Radio 950 KJR.
That sounds good, doesn't it?
It's our Daily Power Play. Yeah, that's a first-round playoff preview. Pekka-Rinne, 30 saves, 60th shutout of his career, 5-0 the final. Nashville, in the last 2 games against their first-round opponent, Carolina, outscored the Hurricanes 8-1.
Oh, man.
15 different Predators found the score sheet during those 2 games.
Oh.
The NHL playoffs are basically set. There's still some matchups to be determined in terms of 1 versus 4, 2 versus 3. Remember, 4 divisions this year. You play your first 2 rounds all in division. So 1-4, 2-3 matchups. That's how it works. The final team to clinch yesterday was Montreal. The Canadiens are in the 16th and final playoff berth. The Panthers also clinched the number 2 seed in the Discover Central Division. We actually have playoffs starting this weekend. Can I explain to you the just craziness of this year, though?
Sure.
Because people may see this and ask yourself. I hope... cross my fingers, trust, and pray that things will be much simpler and there'll be simpler times when the Seattle Kraken drop the puck next year at Climate Pledge Arena. Taking the rain that falls from above to make ice.
It's pretty cool. I mean, I don't know if it really matters, but it's pretty cool.
What if it doesn't rain for a few weeks before they want to put the ice in?
Well, they're going to have to play street hockey.
Okay.
Just on the concrete.
It's ball hockey, but yeah.
We call it street hockey, but that's fine.
Yeah. So that's what they'll do. So we better hope for rain sometime in September. Right? because they're collecting the rain off the roof that we had to save the roof, clock tower, and all the ice will be made from rain collected from the roof.
Are there going to be like leaves stuck in the ice?
No,
then
they have leaf guard.
Oh, they do.
They
okay,
leaf guard around
because
there. So yeah,
because some of that water that comes out of the gutters can be a little.
Do you ever watch? You ever watch local television on Comcast?
Oh yeah,
leaf guard has like a commercial every spot.
Yes,
set on,
they do.
Well, the reason they can pay for that is because they're doing Climate Pledge Arena. There's a leaf guard all the way around the iconic roof. Anyway, I digress. Where was I at? Oh, yes. Like I said, it'll be simpler times next year.
We hope.
What I mean by that is this. There will be playoff games starting this weekend. Washington and Boston, for example.
Uh-huh.
A lot of teams have already finished their season.
Yeah, everything sounds normal so far. Yeah, huh?
Except for next week, you're going to see Vancouver and Calgary, two teams that are not in the playoffs. They will play three meaningless games next week.
Against each other?
Yes.
Ian.
Two reasons for it. Don't look at me like it's my fault.
Explain yourself.
This is why I say next year will be simpler times. My understanding is there's a couple things in play. One, little thing called media rights. So you're making sure you've got make goods on all the advertisements because our friends at Canucks had a little bit of a issue. Thanks to Adam Gaudette going out and partying it up. Anyway, they had a COVID issue, did the Canucks, and because of that, they had a bunch of games canceled. They need to finish those games for two reasons. One, primarily the one they won't tell you about is to make sure that the make goods are all done for their TV partners, TSN or Sportsnet, whoever.
The numbers on those games are going to be through the roof, I'm sure.
Basically, you're playing three games that don't mean anything. Number two, the other part of it comes into play is this. To make sure, because it's based on percentage, winning percentage this year, not points, the lottery.
Oh.
The draft lottery, which we actually have a stake in here in Seattle.
Okay.
Well, we can't have the number one pick, but we can have a top five pick. So we got to see how all that shakes out, and the number of little lottery ping pong balls you get comes into play as well. So that's why they're going to play those games. So the Canadian division won't start the playoffs. I think they said maybe a week from Monday. Like, they'll be a week behind.
Oh, my goodness.
Now, we also have some of their issues with quarantines and things like that.
Well, have they figured out how they're going to run that finals?
You're asking me questions I don't know the answer to. I don't think they know the answer to that, Kevin. It's just a pandemic kind of year, fella. That's just what we're doing. Remember, as confusing as that is, it's not the NBA where you're having a 7-10 play-in tournament.
Hey, man, at least that's fun.
I agree.
This isn't fun.
It's fun but confusing. Because remember,
it's not that bad.
Seven can lose twice.
Yeah, no, seven,
right?
Seven can only lose once. They have to win the 7th and 8th seed. As long as they win one game,
yeah,
they're in.
Yeah,
it's not that hard.
It's hard.
Anyway, it's not.
It's almost as hard as trying to figure out why the Canadians teams are playing games that don't matter.
That I cannot.
They're
figure
basically
out.
Playing the WHL season, except for, you know what? All those players have already been drafted.
They're already there. They're already making millions, folks.
Exactly.
What are we doing here?
That's your daily power play again, brought to you by the Seattle Kraken team store. I want to recap what Daniel Robertson had to say.
Yeah.
I want to jump in a little bit about the Seahawks schedules coming out. I want to just a quick thought on that as well. We'll do that in 2 o'clock hour. As always, you can also chime in on the text line 49451. Coors Seltzer text line, the world's most refreshing seltzer.